We got some life here. It's great. Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, please turn. We're going to postpone our sermon series. So we're not in Acts this morning, but if you could turn your Bibles with me to Matthew. This morning, we're going to have a special Mother's Day sermon or Women of Faith sermon here. Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to be in verses 21 all the way down to 28. So this morning, please pray with me as we ask God to go before us. Oh, Father God, we come before you, and as we look to your word, may you open our ears, may you open our eyes. May you open our hearts to see your word and not only be hearers and bypass people sitting on the sidelines, but people that get engaged into your word. We pray you'd open our eyes, help us to see and to put into action your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're able to stand with me this morning, please stand as we read God's word. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. This is the word of the Lord. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out for us," or after us. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Today, as you know, it's Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all of you. And this is a happy day. But it also can be a sad day for some as well. It's not just always happy, right? But we celebrate. But instead of just celebrating only motherhood this morning, I want to draw out a different aspect of motherhood. I want to celebrate women of faith. I mean, how convenient is that, or how good is that? Most people can be mothers. Most people can be mothers. And if you start to say, well, I don't know about that. So whether that's through biological motherhood, you could be a mother, or foster, right? Adoption, or snowflake adoption, if you've ever heard of that. But to be a woman of faith is a woman's highest calling. Probably make some enemies this morning, right? What's a woman's highest calling? To be a woman of faith. That's a woman's highest calling. You don't have to be a wife or a mother to fulfill God's will for your life. Have you ever heard that? If you're a woman, that's not your highest calling. The light's going out on me. Somebody's turning the lights out. We're not done yet. We're just getting started. So my question this morning is, how does Matthew show true faith lived out in an unlikely character? How does Matthew show faith lived out in an unlikely character? And my main idea this morning is Jesus listens. If you're taking notes, Jesus listens to a woman of faith. Jesus listens to a woman of faith. And Matthew points out what is in a despised woman's heart during crisis. He wants you to see what's going on, that her faith in Jesus is displayed in four ways that capture Jesus' attention. Number one, we see in verses 21 through 23, she knew who Jesus was and she believed in him. She knew who Jesus was and she believed in him. But she believed in him as the Messiah. We'll see. The second point here is verses 24 through 27, she pursued him with her whole heart and she worshiped him. And lastly, in verse 28, at the end of the story, Jesus exalts her like no other Gentile woman in the Gospel of Matthew or in the Gospels at all. And we'll look at that as well. So, again, verses 21, our first point here, verses 21 through 24, a woman of faith, my first point, knows Jesus. A woman of faith knows Jesus. Look at the context of this passage here. In verses 21 and 22, Jesus and his disciples, we have to know the context of this. This is so important. Jesus and his disciples, they were escaping the crowds. This is where we are. We've come to this point. They escaped the crowds and they just finished leaving and arguing, really, with the religious leaders. And Jesus just finished schooling the religious leaders, actually. This is so important to keep in mind. The Pharisees, he schooled them for their hypocrisy, condemning them as blind guides, he says. The blind leading the blind. That's what they were doing. The Jews were showing what? Their hearts by what came out of their mouths, Jesus was saying. That was a huge area. It's what shows you whether you're clean or not, what comes out of your mouth, your heart. Now, Matthew will introduce a character who is, and this is where it's important now. See this. Matthew, he's introducing a character that is the exact opposite of the religious leaders. This is so amazing what he's doing. Turning to verse 21, Matthew wants you to know where they are. Notice in the first verse of 21, they're in Tyre and Sidon. So why is he mentioning these two places? And why should you know this? These cities were both ancient enemies of Israel. That's why it's important to know that. Isaiah and Zechariah and Amos and Ezekiel, they condemn the inhabitants of Tyre in their letters. This is a big deal. Sidon were oppressors of Israel. If you read the book of Judges and Judges 1:31, and it goes all the way to chapter 10, they were oppressors of Israel, these Sidonians. We also know Sidon, the person who founded the city, right? A lot of these cities were named after their founders. Sidon, who is this? He was the grandson of Noah. It's another important fact. He was from the cursed line of Noah's grandson, Canaan. So this is Canaan's son. So let's just say that these two cities were bad news for Israel. Why in the world is Jesus going to the city? Man, so it makes you scratch your head. But Matthew, he draws up a picture of a woman who came on the scene, and he, Matthew, is quick. He's quick to give her a title. And what does he say? She's a Canaanite, right? So he's already identified her. He's already labeled her. And this is not a good title to have, right? You have a bunch of Jews around, and here they are in their cities and their these multiple city complex here. And she was from this metroplex or from this area of Tyre and Sidon. We don't know exactly where she was at, but she was among a lot of people. And to make things worse, she was nagging the disciples, the author says. Man, goodness gracious, get this woman off of our backs. If people complained about being a woman in the 21st century, I just want you to step back a little bit and go back to their day. I think they had a little worse in that time. It's not so good in ancient times to be a woman, okay? But she wasn't only a woman, so that wasn't only the worst part of it. She was a Canaanite woman. And here's Jesus and the disciples and, you know, bad news bears, right? So what is it? She's cursed. This woman is not only a Canaanite woman who's not a Jew, but she's an enemy of Israel, ancient enemy, and she's also cursed because her daughter has a demon. Man, it just keeps getting worse and worse for her, right? Her daughter's cursed with a demon, and notice her knowledge of Jesus, though. This is something interesting. She says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." Okay, so he just finished giving her title. But yet, notice what she says. She knew the scriptures. Wow, that's amazing. Why did she say the Son of David? What's so significant about that title? That meant a lot that this Canaanite woman, I don't think we grasp that fully, that a Canaanite woman is calling him Son of David. Matthew 22 and 41 and 46, Jesus, he teaches the Pharisees and the people the importance of the term Son of David. This is an important thing. And her words show that she knows who she is crying out to. The Son of David title is a guy who is a conquering king, who's going to relieve Israel's suppressors or enemies from them. Now, this Canaanite woman is basically shooting herself in the foot. She's in her hometown, Jesus on the scene, a rabbi, and she goes up to him and she is basically putting her trust in this oppressor of their people, right? We don't know much about her daughter, though. We don't know what's going on. We know she's demon-possessed, but we don't know much about her. And I think that's on our purpose. The point is not just that her daughter's oppressed with a demon. There's another fact that the author is bringing out here. And here's the most crucial point here. What's coming out of her mouth? That's the most important thing. It's showing her heart. And this is the opposite of what? The religious leaders. Because what were the religious leaders doing to Jesus? They were doing the very opposite. This guy's not the Son of David. This guy's not our ruler. This guy's not our king. She is showing that she believes Jesus is the Messiah. Wow, what a contrast this is. And in verse 23, Jesus doesn't respond to her. Notice. He just kind of leaves her hanging. Why? What's going on? Is he building tension here? He's not responding. He's ignoring her. Does he not care for her? And this is a question that is answered. It's partially answered in verse 24. We'll get there. But before this, we see this woman nagging the disciples to the point that they urged or requested Jesus to give her what she wanted. Come on, get this woman off of our back. She's nagging us. Wow. The disciples were only, notice what they were doing. I think the text is showing that they're only focused on themselves. Did you never notice that? They're only focused on themselves. You don't want to be drawn attention to? Get this lady, quiet this lady out, man. We don't want any more trouble. But this is not Jesus' mission, just to get people off his back. Jesus wasn't just there to heal people. That wasn't Jesus' sole mission. But what was his mission? To proclaim a message. That was Jesus' mission. So, what was he doing here, Jesus? Was he using this moment? What was he doing? And I think the most important thing to point out is that he's using this moment to teach his disciples something. There is tension. He wasn't rejecting this woman, I don't believe. This is not the point. He was teaching his disciples the truth of why he came. Notice this comes up all throughout the Gospels. They forget. They just focus on themselves a lot. And here is what the Apostle Paul says about Jesus' mission. I think this is very important. Except, he says, in Romans 15, he says, 15, 7 through 12, he says, accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you. Now he's speaking to the Romans who were against each other, fighting one another. Jews and Gentiles, right? Romans against Jews. Is there tension there? Right? He says, accept one another, just as Christ has accepted you. Two enemies. In order to bring praise to God. We were talking about worship this morning. Why did Israel get the land? Why did God call them into the land? To worship God. That was the highest call. They were just there to worship God. It was all about God. But he says he'd do this in order to bring glory to God or to praise God. He says, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles, notice, might glorify God for his mercy. And notice, he continues, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all the Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, and Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, and one who will arise to rule over the nations, in him the Gentiles will hope. Whoa. So, what are we seeing here? Jesus' purpose was to do what? He was coming to fulfill the promises of Abraham in Israel. Why? So that his message could go further. Isn't that incredible? So he needed to do this before he just went around and healed and helped. I mean, could Jesus have done all himself? But his purpose was greater than that. Jesus needed to fulfill the promises that back when we talked about the covenant of redemption that he planned before the foundation of the world, he came to fulfill in Christ. That was his primary mission. So fascinating. This woman took a significant risk, though. She took a significant risk by approaching Jesus, is another point. She faced shame. She was in her hometown going up to a rabbi. She faced shame, humiliation, and possibly even death. Why are you going up to this guy? Where was her husband? Have you ever asked that question? What was her husband doing? Would he have approved of this rebellious behavior of going to the enemies for help? Think about that. I want to ask us the question, how are we taking risks to honor Jesus like this woman did? An example for us this morning. This woman knew the stories of Jesus, we know, And not only she knew the stories, but she believed in him, which led her to seek him and worship him. Notice, this brings us to our second point. A woman of faith worships Jesus. Not only a woman of faith knows who Jesus is, but a woman of faith worships Jesus. Verse 24. Look. Jesus wasn't rejecting this woman or saying he didn't have time to care for her. He was teaching his disciples a lesson. Jesus' sole job wasn't to mindlessly heal people to get them off of his back or his disciples' back. It wasn't his mission. He wanted them to know that clearly. Jesus uses this moment to reform his disciples' callous hearts. Why do we need to hear the gospel every day? Because we too have callous hearts. We lack faith. And so did the people closest to Jesus. So did Jesus' own family. And Jesus says, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus knew his mission, right? And what does that mean? I was not sent except for the lost house of Israel, sheep of Israel. Jesus didn't say this, though. In Matthew 4:24, when the people came to him from places as far as Syria to be healed by Jesus, he didn't say that to some Gentiles maybe that came through Syria. Okay? And Jesus didn't say this to the centurion. You remember that? Just before this, he didn't say this to the centurion whose servant was sick in Matthew 8:5. Why didn't he say that then? Right? He was a Gentile. Jesus also didn't say anything when he healed the Gadarenes man or the Canaanite man who was possessed, who was demon-possessed. And he sent out the demons into the pigs. So what is the point here? To fulfill the Abrahamic promises of Israel to bless the nations. That's it. Jesus had a scope. Israel was the vessel to bless the nations. With who? With Christ, with himself. Jesus came to proclaim the truth of Scripture to Israel, and by doing so, the whole world would be blessed, starting by witnessing in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We're talking about that in Acts, right? The movement of the church. Jesus' primary mission was to bring the truth to the people of Israel to fulfill his promises. And this is true of the church. There are many things the church can do, right? There's many things the church can do. But what should its primary mission be about? The gospel. So many churches forget this. This is what Jesus is saying here in this verse here. But notice in verse 25, the woman's response to this. She not only identifies Jesus as the Messiah intellectually, she knew who he was, she knew his name, but she also acts on that truth by doing what? She goes and bows at his feet. She worships this man. She not only knows Jesus, but she also worships him. And notice, Jesus doesn't tell her, stop worshiping me. Get up. But he engages her in her worshipful state. In verse 26, Jesus shows his dedication to Israel first. That was his mission. He's teaching his disciples. He's teaching those around him. He shows his primary mission, right, by doing that. And if you know the context, Jesus is not calling this woman, as we see in verse 26, he's not calling this woman a dog. That's not his intent here. It wasn't proper for a woman to approach a Jewish leader like this. Women weren't looked at pretty, they weren't looked at great. But we also know that the Jewish leaders didn't look at women great. But we also know the word dog is for your enemy, right? She was a Canaanite. So that had a lot of things. So Jesus is not doing this. So how much... But yet, it didn't stop people like the disciples possibly from thinking that. These are our enemies. She's a Canaanite. Why is Matthew bringing up this fact here? See, I believe Jesus is showing that this foreign woman, an enemy of Israel, has more sense than those he came for to proclaim to them. I think that's what he's trying to show. He shows that she has more sense. This dog that everyone labels, right? She has more sense than the Jewish leaders. Jesus is teaching his disciples here. Everyone, even someone labeled as a dog, has more sense than the Jewish leaders. Jesus directly contrasts, I believe, his interactions with the religious leaders in chapter 7 and 6 with this story here. And this story also mirrors the story of Lazarus and the rich man, right? Do you remember that story? Where does the rich man go? Where does Lazarus go? The one that took the crumbs from his table, right? What a great parallel. He was worse than the dogs, the scripture says. The dogs didn't even want to eat the crumbs of the table of the master. But Lazarus did. Wow, what a revelation of Scripture, right? Your earthly status doesn't matter. Your earthly status doesn't matter. The question is, how is your heart? How is our heart this morning? Are you humble before God? Verse 27, this woman's faith is a great example to us. She denies herself to what? To save another, her child. The love of her child sends her into great distress. She had on her mind others. She loved God and she loved others. You see that? This woman's faith is not in a religious system, but wholly in Jesus. She comes to Jesus from a position of humility and not privilege, Matthew is showing us. She believes in Jesus and is pursuing him, knowing that he can fulfill her needs. This morning, do you have needs? This morning, are you weak and burden? Go to Jesus. She doesn't need a miracle to believe in him. Notice, she didn't need a miracle and then she had faith. She had faith and she pursued Jesus. She already had faith. She worshiped Jesus because she already has this faith as a gift. How often do you hear people saying they go to church to worship Jesus? How many times do you hear that? Where are you going on Sunday? Have you ever heard anyone say that before? Why are you going to church? I can't imagine. I can say so much about that. I can say so much. I see some of you laughing. I can say so much about that. Don't you see we need a reformation in our own minds of why we go to church? I can't imagine going to my enemies to ask them to heal my child. Can you imagine going to the person you hate the most? Who's the person you hate the most? your son or daughter's sick. Now you have to go to them to be healed. Not only did this woman of faith know Jesus, but she also worshiped him despite the risk. And this brings us to our last point. Verse 28, Jesus listens to a woman of faith. Jesus listens to the woman of faith, and notice she is no longer, in verse 28, notice what Jesus does. She is no longer identified as a Canaanite. Jesus doesn't call her a Canaanite. But a woman of great faith is her identity. Only two people hold this title in the Bible that have great faith in Matthew. And they are both Gentiles. Is that coincidence? No. I want you to back up seven chapters. Okay, not right now, but you could do this later. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 15. But I only want to emphasize three verses out of there. 10, 11, and 12. The Roman officer whose servant was healed. This is the context. You all know the story, so I don't want to go through it because I have limited time. I want to focus on those three verses. Now notice what it says. Now when Jesus heard this, he was astonished. So the man's faith, the centurion, the Gentile. He was astonished by his faith. And he said to those who were following him, who would that be? His disciples, right? Truly, I say to you, I have found such great faith with no one in Israel. Now this is seven chapters before this happened. And he says, but I say to you that many will come from east and west to be seated at the banquet with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What did he just say there? The chosen people that knew it all, that thought they had everything, right? The Jewish, the religious leaders that were blind guides. He says, they will sit on the outer darkness, but those coming from the east and the west, they will sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is scary. This woman's response to knowing Jesus, pursuing Jesus, worshiping Jesus is the response of a person who has the gift of faith. That's it. And it's safe to say that this dog of a woman will be sitting at God's table in the place of the self-righteous leaders of Israel. How stark is that for all of us? We don't come to Jesus because we are privileged. We don't come to Jesus because we deserve his mercy. No, I'm sorry. Oh, no, I was right on that one. We don't come to Jesus because we're privileged. We don't come to Jesus because we deserve mercy and grace. We don't come to Jesus because we deserve anything. We come to Jesus because we are unworthy of Jesus. If you feel unworthy of Jesus this morning, awesome. Exactly where you need to be. Exactly where I need to be. And we need his mercy. We need his grace to heal us. We need him to transform these weak and weary vessels. We need him to invite us into the kingdom of God. Today, for Mother's Day, we celebrate all women of faith. Whether you are a mother or not, that's not your worth or value. It's big. It's huge. Praise God, right? We celebrate women who know Jesus. We celebrate women who pursue Jesus and worship Jesus. Today, you don't have to be a mother, you don't have to be a wife to be loved by God this morning. These roles are all gifts from God. They're privileges to have. And He has given, what He has given, He can also take away from us as well. However, faith is the only gift from God that will last forever. How important is that gift? If you believe in Jesus, you have the highest calling on your life. Hear that. If you have faith, you have the highest calling on your life. Show the world that you have been called by God. A woman of faith who knows Jesus pursues Jesus. That's a recap. She pursues Jesus. She humbly worships Jesus. Why does all this matter? Because Jesus extols a woman of faith. He turns His ears to those who call out in faith in Him. Jesus listens to a woman of faith. And if you felt left out, men, Jesus listens to a man of faith. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You and we worship You. We praise You. We believe in You. We trust in You. Because You are our hope. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.